हरिः ॐ
सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 5, the jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Page 81. Therefore, Paramatma is all-pervading. Eko deva sarva bhuteshu gura sarva vyapi sarva bhutantaratma. The one Lord is within all beings. He is all-pervading and resides as the soul of all beings. Svetasutara Upanishad 6.11. Therefore, the jiva is very small. The jiva is described as nitya sarvagata stanu. Right? So it's small. You can say, well, that shloka doesn't say he's small. It's other shlokas say he's small. But people are arguing with that and saying, no, he's unlimited. And so you say, no, it's Paramatma is unlimited, so then the verse is for showing that Paramatma is unlimited. Right? So the point is, the sense of the Veda is one body of knowledge that's giving one point. It's showing all the different aspects. So sometimes you get the idea that someone wants one shloka that says all the things in it, including, you know, how you say what you're going to eat for lunch today. You know? And, you know, it can't say chapatis, it has to say four chapatis, you know, and like that.
Big or small?
Yeah, that's another thing. Big, small, like that. Are they round? Do they look like Australia? You know, like that.
The ghee on top of it.
Yeah, ghee or not, you know, like that. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that, no, you have to be able, it's explaining all these things, since it's such a vast body of knowledge, different points will be made in different places. And so when he says he's all-pervading, means others aren't all-pervading. Otherwise, if he's all-pervading and everyone else is all-pervading, what's the point? You know, you can only have one being all-pervading, and all others are pervaded. So that's the point. Since they're pervaded, and you say they're everywhere, that just means by volume that there's tons of these little living entities. But they're all pervaded by the Lord. Not that, oh, because they're everywhere, living entities are pervading, are all pervading. Because it's the consciousness that is the... Because they'll say, okay, no, but you have the supreme consciousness, and it's all pervading. But the point is that if the jiva's consciousness is not pervading things... Right? Then what's the point? Just because they're everywhere, that doesn't make them all-pervading. You know, you'll say, yes, it's just like, yeah, the ants are all-pervading, they're everywhere. You know? But it doesn't mean that they're not pervaded by the Supreme Lord. Yeah? No?
Yes, before we start the main discussion, what happens is that we have to build a frame of reference.
Yes, yes.
Which takes like 80% of time. Doesn't matter, it's one class or the seminar or
right.
Course.
Yes.
So then people understand what we're talking about. Because without it, what was given before, what's given after, they don't understand. So taking
yes.
out of context,
yes.
that's the confusion.
Yes, yes. Yes, so that's the whole point. Education means you have to see where do you have to start and what you have to emphasize to bring out. You know, it's just like, you know, Prabhupada, he would very much emphasize this point about the Maya bodies or modern civilization, like that. You know, so depending on your audience, you might be emphasizing different things. Certain basic principles that are always going to be there. And so that's why you see also in the Vedas, when the Shastra starts, it starts from creation. And then it comes down, it shows you where, okay, the creation is there, now this knowledge fits in here. And then from there it's expanding. So you can see this natural link back to the Lord. And the other one comes down, and then at this point it expands. But then that's seeing all these different lines. But the point is they all connect this way also. Right? Because it's the same thing, just a different medium. You know? Does that make sense?
It seems that without the parampara, the tendency is just to pick and choose.
Yes, we'll always just pick and choose.
And all the Mayavadi, all the arguments they are expressing are like that.
Yes, they're picking and choosing. They and it means Karma Mimamsa and Purva Mimamsa, or Uttari Mimamsa, they will both claim that they're dealing with all verses. Yes. But they're still within the verses. They're picking and choosing which ones are the ones that mean something to them. And then all the others will be seen in that light. Right? So that's different than you have a consistent philosophy that all the verses fit.
Yes.
Right? In other words, in the Vaishnava Vedanta, all verses can be dealt with in a direct way, if they're written directly. If they're written indirectly, of course you have to use the indirect. But if they're written directly, you can deal with all of them directly and have it a consistent philosophy. But with all these other schools, then they may deal with, in this case, all verses, but they're always going to give indirect meaning to the ones that don't support the ones that they say are giving, that are direct. Then you're going to have then the four lower schools. They're only going to work with those verses that support their philosophy. The other ones, they just don't even quote. They don't even deal with. You know, they'll say it's a mistake. Or that means even the Shankaras, they'll say it's a mistake. And if you come up, oh, this is that, they'll say, oh, that's a mistake. This is how you're supposed to say it. So that's the difficulty, is they will apply the indirect on what's directly there. You know, and like we said, there's lack of samskar, so they don't have a background that shows what it is, so you have to create that. That's why Prabhupada says he creates our fortune. You know, we're thinking, you know, sometimes we think, oh no, but I was so intelligent, I was looking for the Supreme, and all these kind of things, which is really nice. But at the same time, we have no idea what the Supreme is. So there's no question that by our own qualification that we are progressing. No, Prabhupada made our fortune. He created that background. He explained it so that we could understand and that way move forward. Yeah?
Maharaj, education must be given only by the son who are in the parampara system.
Yes, education has to be by someone in the parampara.
In any topic.
In any topic, if you want to see it, how it's connects to philosophy and religion, yes. But if you're looking for some technical aspect, some mechanical technical aspect, who knows that? You can get it from them.
Yes.
But they can't tell you how it connects to Krishna or what it's for. They'll say, oh, you use it like this, but you don't. You use it how we, you know, it may mechanically work in that way, but the mentality, they'll try to impress their mentality. But no, it's the mentality that makes the difference on mechanics. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because otherwise mechanics remain the same. Like Prabhupada gives the example. The soldier is in the battlefield and he's killing people. And he comes back, he gets an award. But now he's back in the regular society. He kills someone, now he gets, you know, hanged. Because the mechanics are the same. There's no difference in killing someone on the battlefield and killing someone in their living room. You know? Like that. The principle is the same. You know, it's not on the battlefield you shoot him in the head or in the heart, and at home you just shoot him in the big toe. No, it's the same mechanics. So mentality is what makes the difference. But that's not necessarily seen, because we're so used to mechanics is what we're gaining, because the mentality is accepted that it's all about control and enjoying. You know? And if I have a slightly different view on mechanics, then I'll say a step, just like you have the conservatives and the liberals. Liberals and the conservatives, they're no more broad-minded than each other. They're just applying their acceptance in a different area. You know, it's just like conservatives, they will accept that, yeah, everybody should benefit, means everybody who's in the, who are wealthy, you know, or who are business owners, or who are, you know, who are motivating the moving the economics forward. They should benefit. And outside of that, they don't care. Well, then the liberals will say, no, no, that's not right. Everybody should benefit. And so what do? They benefit the people who aren't within corporate and leave out corporate. And if they shut down corporate or blow up corporate or send them to jail, they're happy. But they don't understand. If they do that, where's the money for these guys? So they're just as narrow-minded. And they'll say, oh, but you're oppressing. But how many, it's just like, you know, the thing nowadays, they're being very careful about minorities. But we see when the minorities get in majority, they oppress just the same way. Just the same. So it's not that it's any different. So mechanics are the same. But because they think, no, I'm applying it here, and because of this feeling, then it's different. But as long as it's not connected to Krishna, then it will still be mundane, just differently placed. The boil's on your right knee instead of on your left knee. That's all. So it's only when you bring in Krishna. Now it's about Krishna, pleasing Krishna. We're following it because it's Krishna's laws. We'll look at, oh, we shouldn't follow this because that's bad. Oh, you know, we do kirtan in the streets and all that, and it upsets people and they all run away, so we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't make people run away. I mean, personally, I've never seen anyone run away when you do Harinam, but some have this opinion. You know? So the point is that no, but is it pleasing to Krishna or not? Because even they're running away, did they hear the holy name? Because unless they heard the holy name, why are they running away? Yes. And even if they didn't hear, you're just getting out of the bus and they see everybody in, you know, their saffron and this and that. And then they go, oh, Hare Krishna. So they've already chanted and then they go away. So the point is it's pleasing to Krishna. So it's following God's laws, it's a Yuga Dharma, and it's pleasing to Krishna. But all these other considerations have nothing to do with Krishna. They'll try to, by indirect method, try to bring it back to Krishna. Oh, but if we don't want to disturb, because if we don't disturb them, people will like us. And if they like us, then they'll be favorable. And if they're favorable, you know, then there'll be so much benefit for everybody. What benefit they'll get? They're not hearing or chanting the holy name. You're not distributing the holy name. So your only benefit they get is they seemingly don't get disturbed by you. So they're getting disturbed by 99 other things. So you're not the 100th. You know, and it would be, you know, as if you did something great there. And you're not disturbed because then you don't have to explain it and you don't have to be political. You know, all, you know, your political correct position is not assailed. And so you feel more comfortable and all that. But all this is mundane. Even you talk and bring it and twist it and like that, make the best pretzel in the world. It doesn't matter. It's still mundane. People say, no, but pretzels are so nice. Yeah, but you know, only when they're offered to Krishna. So that's the difficulty, is that unless you can tell, that's why the opening in Bhagavatam is being able to tell the difference between what's matter and what's spirit. All these other things is that you can say, oh, no, but good qualities. No, we have to develop good qualities or we'll bring them to sattva. You know, there's all these kind of ideas coming up. But the difficulty comes up is in the material world, sattva is not pure. It always has passion and ignorance. So even you do something in goodness, it's just a matter of time before passion and ignorance catch them. So even good people do bad things. And even bad people do good things. You know, like that big, you know, how you say, the gunda who harasses everybody and controls the whole neighborhood, then he might, you know, see some old lady having trouble doing and help her pick up her stuff or get across the street. You can't say, there's no such thing as someone who's totally bad. So only in pure goodness, which means it's connected to Krishna, means you're thinking of Krishna. It's about pleasing Krishna. That, then you can maintain the good qualities, maintain the morality. Anything else is just a matter of time. So that's the mistake we make, is we think if the mechanics are done, it's done. Because my mentality is a given that that's the right mentality, and everybody else's mentality is wrong. So they focus on the mechanics, though in actuality, it's the mentality that's the main. So therefore, you can pick up mechanics from other people if that's necessary. But the point is it's our mentality. You know, just like someone for a ritual might go to the Shris to figure out how you do this. But then the mentality has to be ours. If you come back and then now you have the Shri mentality, you've misunderstood the process. You know, you want to go to Vaikuntha, you're looking for liberation, hey, go for it. But we're interested in Vrindavan, no liberation, not liberation. You know? So the ritual, yes, will move you forward, but depending on the mentality, that's where it's going to place you. So one has to be very, very careful about that. So that's why then, in these things, is that, yes, you should hear from devotees. Like that. Then in the apara, who's mechanically expert at it, you can hear from them. But how it's connected to Krishna, only if they have that understanding and devotional service do you listen to them. Otherwise, everybody's going to give their opinion what you should do. Everybody. Like that. So, you know. Because they have their own samskars.
The difficulty, Maharaj, is to always focus on the mentality.
Yes. The mentality means that surrender to Krishna. That's the mean. Man manab haba mad bhakto mad yaji man namaskar. That's a mentality. We'll take it. Oh, no, you have to do these particular things. It's a mentality. You know, it's just like, what's it? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. It's a mentality. Because some will say, oh, no, he only wants this. You are offering more. There's no need to add or offer any more than that. It's that. No, there's a mentality. Is that Krishna, as a person, is so kind that anything you offer to him, he'll be happy because of the relationship. That's the main point. But if we take it that, no, it's specifically these items, then we're gonna have a problem. Because we see in the purport, none of the acharyas say only those items. And Rupa Goswami and Nectar Devotions, careful to point out, don't think that, you know, that's, if that's all you have, that's what you offer. Because everyone can get those things. But if you have more, you offer more. Right? Yes. Yes? No? Therefore, the jiva is very small. Not even small, very small. The jiva is described as nitya sarva gata stanu in the Gita. Stanu means a jiva, a particle, anu, who is situated in or takes shelter, sta, of the Lord. Sarva gata primarily refers to Bhagavan, who is all-pervading. It primarily refers to him, but because we're coming from the Lord, then his energy is everywhere. So therefore the jivas are everywhere. But what it has to understand is the sarvagata is referring to Krishna being the source of all that energy. So it's primarily about him. Secondarily it's about the jiva. It just means, like we said, ants are everywhere. Mosquitoes are everywhere. You know? Like that. The Shruti spoke thus, the verse. Vriti. In conclusion, this Adhikarana established that the jiva by nature is minuscule in size and possesses outstanding qualities through which he spreads influence throughout the body. The next Adhikarana discusses the qualities of the jiva as a doer and enjoyer of activities. Right? So here's outstanding qualities means the consciousness. That's it. And then from consciousness, other qualities come. If you're not conscious, where are the qualities? Right? Adhikarna 6. Jiva is a doer and enjoyer. Anuchedas 35-36. Adhikarna Prakashika. In this Adhikarna, Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the jiva's characteristics as a doer of actions and as the enjoyer of bliss. Right, so we've established his size, we've established his eternality, we've established qualities and all that. So that's all that Sambandha are dealing with the sat. Now you have to deal with, you know, it's mentioned about Chit and Ananda, just to establish the sat aspect. Yeah. So now it's going to deal more with Chit and Ananda. Does that make sense? Because a doer means Chit, and an enjoyer means Ananda. Is that? Yeah. In conditioned state, the initiative. Oh, yes, that was great. Okay. So many words you could get out of that. In the conditioned state, the initiative to act takes place because of predominance of upadis, and thus the prakriti, or the quality of upadi, is said to be the doer. Right? Because the jiva means you'll attribute the action to that particular body doing those things because it has that nature. Like you say, oh, this person has this character, so he'll do like this. Yes. So we're not actually attributing it to the soul. Mm-hmm. So it's actually the soul that's doing. Like Prabhupada said, you know, the condition. So the soul is the doctor, not the body. Like that. The soul thinks, I'm a doctor. That's why then he does doctor stuff. You know? Hence, the conditioned jiva performs actions through the bodily senses. In the liberated state, however, the initiative to act takes place because of the predominance of Paramatma, and thus the pure jiva is said to be the doer and not the upadis. Right? So, when you're doing devotional service, then the soul is the doer. But if it's based off upadis, just like we say, oh no, everyone's equal, or we're Westerners, or no, why is it, you know, this one can do this, that one can't do that, you know, in Varnashram, then we're dealing with upadis. And then we're saying, no, but we're not the body. But then the point is then act like you're not the body. You have to start from there. How it serves Krishna. How does Krishna want it? How does the Shastra say? Then if it's your duty, then yes, you do it. And then you're doing it, then the soul is doing it. But if we're taking the other approach, then we see we're dealing with upadis and its material. We may use it as an excuse, but as we can see is that Shakuni and Duryodhana, they would use Dharma as their argument to get Yudhishthira to do their nonsense V-Dharma. So that's the whole thing. It's just a natural thing, is that if someone tends towards religious, you'll use religion to get them to do your irreligious activity. So just because one's quoting, but what's the intent? What's the purpose? Especially when we're saying about everybody this, that, then it's pranamoya. So we're saying we're not this body, but we're going to act on the pranamoyic platform. Oh, we're not the body, so we don't have to follow all this Indian stuff. But then they're going to follow Western stuff because they identify that we're Westerners, we're the body. Right? So that's the difficulty. So you have to see is that they're quoting one level of consciousness and acting on another. So only at the point of Vijnana Moya, where it's because the Shastra says you're following that, that's the soul. And because with detachment, then you're doing. But these others are with attachment. They can't be on that platform. Yes?
Very obvious, the best example in the Bhagavatam is when Indra comes to Dadichi and says, give up your body for the sake of my body.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then he preaches, like, real Krishna conscious philosophy. You are the sage, you should do, you should perform your duties, this is your dharma. But the purpose of the whole preaching is I have to save my body, so give up your body for the sake of my
body. Yeah, yeah. No, it's very far out, isn't it? Very far out. And I think that from what I don't remember exact detail, but there's also another twist in that, is that at another time, Dadichi came to Indra for something, and Indra refused for something minor. And now Indra's coming to Dadichi for something very major. You know, you have to give up your body. All Indra had to do was probably just say, hey, get him this. You know, and that's it. You know? But he didn't want to spend it. He didn't feel like it was, you know, worth it. So, therefore, we also see how Krishna arranged that one, Dadichi would come back to him. And at the same time is that it puts Indra in a very sorrowful position that he has to go to the guy that he refused and asked such a big, major thing, and he's willing to give it, while Indra was asked a minor thing, and he was unwilling to give. You know? So that whole pastime is basically embarrassing to Indra. You know?
And to embarrass him more, Dadichi
counters his argument, and then Indra feels silent and then says, "I was just joking."
And then he does. Okay, yeah, even more. Yeah. So poor old Indra. So even though you become the king of the universe, you're still going to get harassed. Thus, ultimately, the jiva is said to be the doer of actions, right? Because he has that choice. The jiva, being part and parcel of the Lord, has the nature of being an enjoyer, right? Because he also has that small portion of Ladini,
yes, yes.
Right? But it only acts spiritually if it's in connected with the Lord's Sarup Shakti. In his pure spiritual state, he experiences bliss in serving the all-attractive Supreme Lord, even though the jiva in the conditioned state suffers because of his false identification. This suffering is temporary, for as soon as he turns towards the Lord, he regains his original pure consciousness. So there's no need of going and drinking boiling ghee and taking birth in a Hindu family. You know, you just immediately start, because it's the soul that's the doer, not the body. So that's the weakness in the other thing. They think it's the body that makes you a Brahmin. Mm-hmm. No, it's the soul's consciousness that makes one. Thus, the jiva has been explained as a knower, doer, and enjoyer. Right? So, does that make sense? Yeah. So here, knower meaning consciousness, knowledge, that non-dynamic, you know, static. Then doer, then you're taking the same things as dynamic now, and then the result of that, enjoyer. Does that make sense? So sometimes there's a you see, is that maybe a confusion between the how you say it? Sat and the Chit, or the Sandini Samvit, because Samvit is knowledge, but that means the applied aspect, just the principle of it, the position. Because what we call knowledge is, okay, that's a wall, that's a pillar, that's a roof, that's a floor, that's all in Sandini. That's just the existence. Where all I'm pointing out is the existence of that existence is a column, that existence is a wall. But now, what it's doing, and that's something. Right? So that's will. So in other words, the thinking, or knowledge, the desire, the need, excuse me, then that will be the prayojana aspect, but the willing to do. Like, you have thinking, feeling, and willing. But when you do, that's the point, is willing means you're going to do. Does that make sense? So I think about it, I feel, that means I have the need. Then I will do. So only when there's will, you do. So that's the desire, that willpower, that's what makes you do things. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, this is why that sometimes we say the chit, but then chit is like a knowledge and consciousness.
Yes, we do. But at the same time, that's the active aspect.
Yes.
Because otherwise, sat, it means its existence is already there. So much of the time, from the inductive knowledge, what we're talking about is knowledge is all just static, non-moving things, you know.
Yes.
You know, in this date, this happened, that one, this one, this. That's just a matter of numbers.
Yes.
You know, or so like that. That's all the sat aspect. When you apply that, that's the chit.
In order to apply, we need to have consciousness.
Yes, so consciousness is going to be in this, is that sat aspect. You know, that he's there, he's eternal, and he has consciousness. But the using consciousness, that's chit. Mm-hmm. Right? And Ananda, because the point is it exists, these others exist.
Yes.
So existence pervades the other two, consciousness pervades the other two, and bliss pervades the other two.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is we'll, you know, by our view, is that each one should be this separate little box that has no connection. Then we can very clearly say, but the point is no, it's which one's the prominent, that's what we call it, because you can't separate the three, right? You know, Krishna's form, and the jiva's form, the dham, everything is manifesting from Sandini potency. Like that. But the point is that form is Sat Chit Ananda. So the existence of them is that principle, the sundani. Its application, and that dynamic, that's the chit. The experience from that, that's the ananda. The hladi. Does that make sense to that? So, yeah. Yes.
Also, we see that sometimes we don't understand the inner distinction between the knowledge itself. Like when we say Shravana, Manana, and Dhyasana,
right.
It's between the Sandini itself, like the knowledge itself.
Mm.
First you hear, which is just the knowledge or information itself.
Mm.
Then you contemplate is where mm-hmm. you are desiring
mm-hmm.
to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the avideya within the Sambandha Gyan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Niridhyasana is where now you came to a conclusion, because you Niridhyasana is meditating on the conclusive mm-hmm. truth, which is the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So then you attain to the Prayojana within the Sambandha. But modern knowledge just stops at the Sambandha of the Sambandha. It doesn't come to the conclusion.
No.
That's why we cannot do the Abhideya, which practice bhakti and then
yes.
get the taste of Prayojana.
Yeah, it's not part of the life. It's just, it may be mechanical, so some will yes. teach. If you were learning engineering or a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, a few things, then they actually practically apply it.
Yes.
But most education is not practically applied. You know, in primary and secondary, they'll try to create an environment as if you're learning something practically applying, but it's not like that.
That's why it's also said that the perfection of any field is understanding and coming to the process of bhakti. So that Nididhyasana, which in you can start from any knowledge, but ultimately you can reach to that goal of Niridhyasana. Then you actually do the Abhideya. Then you practice bhakti.
Yeah, because unless there's the Niridhyasana, you won't see a branch of knowledge in connection with Krishna. So therefore you won't perform devotional service in that context. You know, so that's the point. It's like devotees value devotional service in direct activities of devotional service. But in indirect, they don't necessarily see them in connection with Krishna. Therefore, they're not applied in connection with Krishna. So that's the areas that generally there's the problem. You know, very few have a problem with the direct activities. Now I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, I'm going to hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. We're going to worship the deities. We're going to live in the dham. So very few have a problem with that. It'll be the indirect, that's where the difficulties come up. You know, whether you accept varnashram or not, or how economics works, or what's the social standards or not. What morality do you follow? You know, do you give in charity or not? Or do you study or not? Or, you know, the social prestige. So all these things, those aren't seen in the context of Krishna. So therefore there's no realization, therefore they're not engaged. So you're just being practical. That's your practical life, and then you add devotional service. Because that's the way it is basically with most all, common people. Because that they have their life, and then they happen to have a particular religious faith, and then, you know, whenever is the time, they may apply it at certain points in time. But it's... they're adding God as a point of morality to their already existing material reality. It's not that that becomes. With someone like a priest, then everything they do is centered around God. And so then we want to... So in the Vedic, is everybody's functioning on that platform. Whether, you know, priests definitely should be on that platform, but even everybody else. We see all the great kings and everybody else, they were functioning on that platform. Because it's a matter of consciousness. But in the West, we don't have that so much. You know, rare, you might have a case where somebody's a very nice person. All the time, he's trying to think like that. But it's very rare. So it's not taken as a standard. So then there's always the thing, oh, we're saying everybody has to be priest. It says, no, we're talking in the Vedic version. We're not talking in the Christian version. Like that. And that's the fun part. Is the Christians are the ones that have the most difficulty with these two aspects, blending them. while the you know, the other Abrahamic, the Jews and the Muslims, you can be the priest but run a business. It's not a problem. You're married, your family life, everything's going on like that. Just that you see things more from that perspective. No? Yeah. Anucheta 35. The jiva has a pure swarup, nitya nirmalaha. That was already illustrated in shudho vichashte yavishudha kartuhu. The jiva, though pure, becomes absorbed in the activities of the impure mind. Srimad Bhagavat 5.11.12 explained at the beginning. Even the jiva in his pure state is also a knower, jnan ritva. That was illustrated also. Knowledge is eternal, since it is the intrinsic quality of the eternal jiva. Therefore, that knowledge is without change. So the knowledge of the jiva, so whenever he comes back to it, it functions. It's not that, oh no, you've done this, and so now you can't. These are those who have their attachments to mundane religious elements. They're worried about that. You know, just like, there's always that idea of prayaschitta. Someone's done something wrong, then they have to do an activity. It means they've done mechanically something wrong, so there has to be a mechanical process by which they purify themselves. Like that. And then you see is, having done that, then no one's satisfied. Even though you've insisted they do this, then for purification, then when they do it, once they finish, you're still not satisfied that they're pure. Because in your mind, no, nothing should go wrong. So it's just a waste of time. Right? It means for materialists also, then, because they see things mechanically, they go through mechanical processes. But for the devotees, they're just supposed to switch to the transcendental consciousness. And how do you do that? By putting good association, by increasing sadhana, this, that. You know, not the can't come to the temple, can't do service, can't... That's the exact opposite of what is the solution. Because they say that, but how is that purifying? Right? Okay, even if you take the Veda. Okay, the person has done something wrong. And that they don't say you don't go to the temple. And they say you do this austerity. Let's say like you walk along the bank of the both sides of the bank of the Ganges. You know? So in other words, you start from wherever you are. Like let's say we're here in Mayapur. You walk from here down to the Sagar. You cross. Then you walk back up. You go up to Gangotri. Then you come down on the other side. You know? Does that make sense? So you come back on this side and come back to here. It takes about 12 years. You know? And so that. So they're telling what you should do. Now in that, yes, you're not staying in the temple. You're out on the road, but it doesn't say you can't visit temples. You know, you can't do devotional service. You can't like this. So it takes one out of the regular social context, but it gives you something to do that actually does have an element of piety. It won't give bhakti, but it's piety. But these modern things of, oh, don't do this or can't do that, they neither purify nor give any benefit to anybody. And that's why even you've gone through it, nobody's satisfied. They make up their own idea of prayaschitta, and then somebody does it, and they're still never satisfied. You know, and so then they have to take shelter of the eternal damnation, which is not a real philosophy. It doesn't have any reality. Because then I can feel, oh yes, because then I think eternal, so I can now connect with Brahman, so now I've done something spiritual. No. Because material is temporary. So you can only solve spiritual problems with spiritual solutions. Even material problems, you can only solve with spiritual solutions. There is no material solution to a material problem. Right? You have a mechanical aspect that you can perform. But if you don't change the mentality, it just gives you more trouble. Yes?
I mean, it's in my mind. Yesterday I was trying to study the sixth canto. So what happens to Indra, he offends the guru.
Right.
And then he finds another one who performs the Vishwarup who performs the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kills him eventually.
Right.
And then he kills Vritrasura. And then he does Prayaschita, as you just explained.
Right.
So that the problem with Indra is not that he is not a devotee. He is a devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And he offers the Hamsaguhya prayers and...
Oh, that's Indra. Hamsaguhya.
Oh, no.
Hamsaguhya, I think, is Daksha.
That's Daksha. Sorry. That's a different story.
He does when at Govardhan after...
His prayers, I think. But then the difficulty with Indra as a mentality that he is neophyte.
Yes.
Who can understand pure devotional service. He's a Kanishtha, and then he's envious of Madhyamas and Uttamas.
Yes.
So he thinks, because he believes in God.
Right.
But also he believes in Prayaschita.
Yes.
But pure devotees, they don't do that.
Yes.
So then, you know, the sin follows and the whole story develops.
Right, right.
So this shows, this example, the sixth canto specifically, shows that we should not be satisfied with the Kanishtha mentality.
Mm.
But many say, like, when we have a discussion with devotees, they say, well, Kanishtha is not bad. It's much better than the Adis, which is true.
Yeah, it's true.
But we shouldn't settle for Kanishtha and then be like Indra in the sixth canto. Because then in the tenth canto, he does the exact same. His mentality didn't change a bit.
No, always. Because he gets overwhelmed because of that desire to control and enjoy. So until you give that up. Yeah, that was a very good point. So that's why for us, Prayaschita is not a major thing. You know, sometimes we'll make it say that, yes, you know, if you've done anything as a karmi, that once you come, you know, then it doesn't matter what happened, you come in, you're a devotee. But if you do anything as a devotee, oh, that can't be excused. You know, these are all just made up, man-made religions. The point is the soul is the soul, no matter what. Something being done mundane, that's by the modes of nature. It doesn't matter if you're a devotee or not a devotee, it's still the modes. And what's the solution? Krishna consciousness. So these are just our own impressions, you know. And then they say, oh, no, but we can't, you know, but this is the standard. Oh, yes, that's true. We agree, but, you know, the devotees wouldn't accept. So then you're just going to let the mentality, the Kanishtha mentality stand? That's the authority? You're the leadership? Why aren't you preaching to them and raising their consciousness? Because if you're going to go by, oh, you have to go by these material concepts, then why aren't you using Varnashram? That's the form of, this is the, you know, way it is. You know, this one does this, that one does that. Then use Varnashram for that. No, they won't use Varnashram either. Right? It means the one is, oh, they won't accept, and the other one is, I don't accept. Because anybody who accepts Varnashram is willing to talk about it.
Yes.
Most everybody, Varnashram is too subtle.
It's too subtle, yeah. Because it's a mode of goodness. So that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
pure bhakti is pure goodness. And Varnashram, it's situated in goodness. You need goodness to relate. That's why Brahmins understand and teach the system. And then Kshatriyas, they establish it because they have that goodness, but there's that passion there that creates the drive, that willpower to establish it, that sense of justice. But it's a sense of justice because it's the law. While you come down to the Vaishya level, the sense of justice is, you know, I don't want to lose. That's why everybody should be like this. You know, if he steals, he may steal from me. But for the Kshatriya, stealing is wrong. You don't steal from anybody. So it's just, it's a principle. So, you know, so it's mode of goodness. It's too subtle. And for us, Daiva Varnashram, then we're applying Varnashram with the mentality of Shuddha Sattva. So we're using Shuddha Sattva to work with the modes to engage our conditioning. So like you said, it takes some purification. That's why you see, even though the chanting of the holy name is the higher principle, you have to have been purified by the holy name to have the conditioned qualities that you can actually accept the Brahminical initiation. And what's driving that is your commitment to Krishna consciousness. But then you'll see it in the character that they'll have these qualities. So that's the interesting thing. We'll think, oh, it's the higher. In one sense it is, but in the other sense, how did you get there? It's by the holy name. And so that's why in other ages you have those qualities, then you acted at that point. Otherwise, what are you going to do? But in Kali Yuga, who's qualified? Therefore, then by the chanting process, that will bring you and situate you in these things. Otherwise, why would anybody talk about it? So when Prabhupada says, you know, he's always talking about establishing the devotees using Varnashram, and occasionally says, in this age you can't establish Varnashram. Mm-hmm. That's to that level that it is in these other ages. Mm-hmm. That quality of the Brahmins, you know, that they could chant the mantras and take the calf and put, the old cow, put it in the fire by, you know, holding on the tail and pull out a calf. Yeah. They can't do that. But it doesn't mean they can't do an achman or, you know, like that, you know, offer the boga, you know. Wash their feet. No? Yeah. Even the jiva in this pure state is known as a knower, gyatritva. That was illustrated also. Knowledge is eternal since it's the intrinsic quality of the eternal jiva. Right? So that's part of is sat. That's the whole point. Like you see sometimes it's talking about the spiritual realm. I mean the Lord's dham comes from the spiritual. So the spiritual platform, sat, sandini, Icha Kriya Jnana. The Jnana, these are all the same platform, different features of it. So if you only have that, you don't understand more. You know, if you're willing to have the willpower to do it, then you understand up to the Paramatma. But it's only when you get to the Icha, to fulfill Krishna's desire, then you take on Bhagavan. Because Paramatma is a person. But it's not about him being a person. You understand? So even like Prabhu was saying, within the Sambandha, you have that Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Even within Bhagavan, you're going to have this Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana aspects. You know? And that you're going to have those who simply see him as the Supreme Absolute. The person is the Supreme Absolute. So they're simply seeing on that platform. It's the Supreme Brahman. It's a person, but it's about being Supreme Brahman, even though it's a person. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just where the emphasis is. Then in Vaikuntha, it's going to be about him being God. He may be a person, but the point is he's God. Well, in Goloka, then it's about him being a person. And then in there, you're going to have three features. And so Braj is going to be that Prayojana of Prayojana. Technically, Prayojana. You know, so it's the ultimate position because it's just about him being a person. It's not about him being God or anything else. It's just about him being a person. Well, Dwarkas, he's a person and he's God. So sometimes they'll act more on he's a person and sometimes he's God. But in Braj, it doesn't matter. You know. Mother Jashoda sees the universal form in Krishna's mouth. She thinks, maybe I need a nap. You know, I'm too tired. You know. Yeah? Sometimes an unconscious entity becomes the doer since one sees the body perform actions by relationship with the conscious entity. Na rite tvat kriyate kinchanare. Without your will, nothing can act. Rig Veda 10, 1, 12, 9. Accepting that all action arises by relationship with the Lord as Antayami, the jiva as a pure entity also acts as a doer. Right? So we're seeing, we have to see it all the way back, is that because the jiva is in the body is acting, and so we think it's the body, but it's actually the jiva. But the point is that jiva can only act within that body because of Paramatma. So it's Krishna's energy that pervades everything. So the body is able to act because it's Krishna's. But the jiva, because he's conscious of that element, that element or that situation, he can take part in that, engaging the Lord's energies. You know, so the living entity wants to deal with this way, he can. But that's why he's dealing with the unconscious. Because the body is unconscious, therefore the jiva is allowed to deal with that in an impure state. In a pure state, you'll deal with the spiritual form. Because you have dealing with the material form means you're dealing with material forms. While in the spiritual world, you're dealing with the spiritual form, you're dealing with spiritual forms. The spiritual form means conscious. So in the material world, you're dealing with the unconscious, and it's interacting with unconscious. But that's being controlled by Krishna. So that's the point the Rig Veda is making. Without your will, nothing can act. Like that. And then the jiva, by his minute will, then takes part in that particular action. You know? So it's not that, oh, the Lord's doing it. No, the Lord's energy is there, and you can use. Does that make sense?
And Maharaja, in the conditioned state means we see only the mechanics.
We only see the body and the mechanics of the body. Yeah. We don't see the soul, we don't see Krishna.
In either his state, we see the mentality relationship.
Yes. So the Vijnanamoya platform, you see the soul, you see the body. Yes. You may or may not see the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's supposed to be a hint of it as the Brahman, but it's actually only in Anandamoya that you see the Lord.
Yes.
And see the jiva and see the body.
Yes, yes.
So, does that make sense?
And the free will come at that level.
Yes, it means the free will is always there.
The main.
Where you distinguish between matter and spirit, you could say there. But free will is always there. It's just like that bird. He can sit over there, he can fly up into the rafters, he can jump off the edge there. He has so much free will. But it's all got to be bird stuff. It's not going to be, he decides he's going to be Captain America or something. You know, no, he's going to be a bird. No?
Some days ago we discussed that Lord, he's Swaicha and Swatantra. Means he has a desire and it's always fulfilled.
Yes.
But then jiva is Swaicha, but Paratantra. In fulfillment of his desires, he depends on the Lord. Not all of he's got desires, but not all of his desires fulfilled. So it's not totally on him.
No.
Sometimes it happens,
sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah. So only when he brings it in line with Krishna, then that Paratantra, then it works perfectly. Because then you're working under the desire of the internal potency, which knows Krishna's desire. See, because we don't know Krishna's desire, so we don't know what to do and not do. That's why we have the Shastras. Shastra says, do this, don't do that. So we know mechanics, so therefore then the mechanics are pointed out to us. We're thinking, what should I do? Meaning mechanically. So the Shastra points out, this activity is what you do. Right? And so then, that's then pious, that we're doing that. Now when we see that back to, I do that because it pleases Krishna, because it's his service, then it takes on that devotional quality. But it's still Krishna's potencies that make it happen. But like you said, we're independent in our desire. Swaicha. Does that make sense? Appears it makes sense. Acha?
They also got something to say.
Yeah, no, everyone has something to say.
Maybe they want to participate in the Sangha, but just we can't understand them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think it was with, what do you call it? not Charakaru, not Chatila. Gotama's disciple, who didn't know his Gotra.
Oh, Jabala.
Jabala, yeah.
Jabala.
Satyakama Jabala. So when he went out in that, at some point, everything, whatever was hearing, he was just hearing about the Absolute. So when we get to that platform, yes, maybe we'll be able to understand. Because I think it's in, what do you call it? It's the one by Satyabhama, Prema Pradeep. Or Prema something.
Prema Vivarta.
Prema Vivarta. Yeah. Who?
Jagannanda.
Jagannanda, yes. So in there, he pointing out that all the animals and living entities in the Dham, in Mayapur, they're all chanting Gauranga's names. So then they're inspired, they're coming and they're chanting Gauranga, Gauranga. But we don't quite catch it. Just as unheated iron cannot burn, the body, senses, life, airs, and intelligence move to their objects only when endowed with consciousness by the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-24. Right? So we see here also the sixth canto. And sixth canto is trying to point out the unimportance of prayaschitta for the Vaishnavas. Right? And so that's because of this. It only moves because of the Lord, the potency of the Lord. So therefore, then the Lord gives the consciousness. That's why it acts. Then the living entity identifies with that. That's why then they're attributed as the doer of that improper activity or proper activity. Mm-hmm. But when they take up the consciousness of doing things to please Krishna, now they're acting in their real position. So there's no need of prayaschitta for that, because the only thing that will bring that about is chanting it in the association of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, it won't happen. Like that. It's not about scholarship. It's not about morality. It's not anything else. It's about that you are associating with those who have this understanding. So that's why then it's said you search out people who have that. And then that's also why Rupa Goswami says Swajati. They have the same mentality. Right? So if everybody has the same mentality, then it's easy. But if not, then you find those who you're comfortable with.
The difficulty seems to be, according to this explanation, I mean from the beginning of the class, is that Kanishka, he believes in mechanics. He believes in ritual.
Yes.
And because I do mechanics, then the Lord reciprocates. Mm-hmm. So it's a big chunk of karma kanda is in there, mm-hmm. this practice. Mm-hmm. But then to associate with these people, you have to really bring them to the higher level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they're out of the sangha,
yes,
they're back into their mechanical view of the world.
Yes.
Because mechanical means how to exploit things.
Yes. Basically. Yes. Yes. But even though that because the neophyte mentality, they're seeing the mechanics, they always engage in by associating with those more advanced, and they start to see like that to some degree, but as soon as they're not in that association, they give that up and go back to whatever they were before. But they'll go back a little bit less than they were before.
Yes.
You know, so now it's 99.98 now, you know, and then next time 99.97. You know, so like this, it just keeps going. And with time, then they'll start to see the difference. And then, you know, they may or may not choose, but then as it goes and they get more purified, then they'll start to go, and then it's just that becomes the natural choice. So that's the advantage of devotional service, is nothing's lost in this mentality. The mechanics are always lost. You do the mechanics, they're gone. But the mentality, that remains. And so that's where the progress is. And that's why then one tries to associate with those more advanced, because then that aspect will develop. You know? And the mechanical aspect is that, you know, by hearing from the proper sources, applying it in the proper way, and by practice, you'll be good at mechanics. So that's, I mean, same kind of thing as then taking that neophyte mentality is after, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of practice of devotional service, then you become quite regular in, you know, you're able to get up and chant and offer your food and do little things like that. Then you think, okay, now I've done, now I have to move on to something more advanced. And so, you know, you know, you have some options. You can move on to the Sahajya line and try to get into that. Is that very more advanced? Or the more common and more popular one is to get into being a manager and controlling everything in that way. You know, and that way you're more advanced. Or you can go the other way of, you know, some kind of scholarship and things like that and think because you're intellectual and logical, that makes you more advanced. When it's actually just, no, you just, it's everything's done for Krishna. That's more advanced. The other thing is just the mechanics. No?
Yeah, Rupa Goswami recommends, he says when you figure out the mechanics, which is Vaidhi basically, then you start going toward rag, means you develop attachment.
Yes.
So that will happen naturally.
Yes.
If you have the proper sangha, but if not, then I'm just perfect in mechanics. That's it.
But because we're doing the mechanics ultimately for Krishna, we will advance. It'll just be slower, that's all. But if we actually value the Vaishnava Association, value these things before the spiritual aspect, then we will advance very quickly. Yeah. Does that make sense? So you can see is that what's the reality, what's that, and everything else is there simply to support. And so since everything else is just to support, then which things give the best support? Can we check everything that there is? Every technical detail that there is on the planet? No. So therefore, then the Shastras recommend these things are the best mechanics to use in Krishna's service. Right? And so that cuts it down quite a bit, you know, into a more sattvic society. And then of that, then the Acharyas then slim it down, make it more exact by showing what's very good for pure devotional service. And so then we just follow that. You know, so it's not an identity, it's not these things, so it doesn't need to be a distraction. You know, but in the neophyte stage, we generally, because of mechanics, we generally tend to, you know, it's like we have a need to make it into a distraction. You know, we have to make it into a distraction. But what to do? But with time, these things adjust. They balance. You know, it's just like, let's say, if a child, you teach them something, right? There's a particular situation, something comes up. You explain to them what to do. Now, you're explaining the general point in the context of the application in that specific where they were misunderstanding something. Now, next time they see that situation come up and somebody's doing something wrong, they'll point it out, even though it's actually a different application. Then you have to explain again. Now, at first they get confused, but now what you said this before, because they don't catch the principle. And then as you keep explaining, then they catch the principle. Now they see two areas to apply. And they might be intelligent, but if not, then a few more, and then after a while they start to catch. Okay, we have this is the principle, and then there's a wide range. Does that make sense? And some who aren't very good at that, they just say, because I said so, do it. You know, and then they see it's contradictory, and then whenever they can give it up, they do. You know? So that just means it's not been fully appreciated. At least the person is following because you're supposed to, so that's a good thing. But it's not complete. It's not mature. So that's why then those who are more advanced, they should be able to explain it. Or at least then you can appreciate their faith, you know, their determination, that commitment, and then at least have that, and then you may meet somebody who can explain it.
The funny thing with that is that to explain principle to a child, it's oftentimes much easier than to the adults.
Yes.
Because children, they don't have preconceived ideas of how everything should be.
Yes, yes.
But then adults, you have to really argue and go through the, you know, through the conditioning.
Yes.
And then, even then, they may accept it or may just, you know, they don't talk, but they don't accept.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that misgivings. Yeah, that so many doubts and misgivings. Yeah, so you see so much comes up of the distractions that we were talking about before, this neophyte thing, from doubts and misgivings from the previous samskaras. Because for them, they've decided this is wrong. And but it was wrong in that specific mentality, in that specific situation. But you change the mentality, it's not necessarily wrong. Like, let's say, the parent is telling the child, you have to do this. And so then I get the idea, no, they shouldn't be forcing the children, they should be encouraging this and that. Okay, great. But then let's say another situation where the kid's just about to, you know, walk too close to the stairs and fall down the stairs, so that so the parent says, don't go there, like that. And then I'll see, oh, they're so rough, they're so this. And so, because I have a mentality that this authoritative element can't be used. But I can't see the difference between where it's being used properly and where it's not being used properly. And so then that'll be a misgiving. So like Prabhu says, it's no matter how nicely you explain it, they can't give it up because there's no new samskar. They have to see someone doing it in that way and then they experience it as good. You know? So that's why you always see it's a popular theme. When a story is unfolding, then someone does something and someone else gets upset with them and they're trying to explain, no, it's like this and that, and they don't accept and everything goes that. And then they themselves experience it. Then they understand it. Then they go back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand this and that. You know, very standard. You know, in other words, third class intelligence is supreme.
Yeah. Maharaj, can you say that in teaching, when there is one person who is appreciating, it's like a success?
Yes, yes.
Means taking the mood and understanding, you know?
Yes, that's why it's mentioned in the mission. The mission is to make one person Krishna conscious.
Yes, yes.
If one person becomes a pure devotee, then everything you've done in your life is perfect.
Yes.
And so if each person is trying to do that, you know, that's thousands and thousands of people. And if you see like Prabhupada, he can make thousands of people like that, that's even better. You know, so that's the whole point, is that the mentality is if even one person, because pure consciousness of the jiva, that's the natural position, that's the valuable thing. It's not anything else. You know, so you see, big things are made, this and that, and then they all go away. Rupa Goswami, you know, means, you know, from my understanding and seeing the architectural elements and the different considerations and everything that went into Govindaji Temple, I don't think you'll find a better example of architecture, you know, in the world like that. But, you know, Govindaji let it go. You know, so not only parts there, and it's, you know, kind of something goes on there, but it's not a central point of focus. And he moved to just basically a haveli. It's just a room that they extended a veranda around so that everybody could, you know, and with time the veranda gets bigger and bigger. How big it is now, I think they just extended it just recently.
Yeah.
Like that. Before it was quite big, but before that it went back, you know, even closer. Because you see the Parikram path and then there's a place in front. That's all there was. Then they expanded that front. Now they've done even more. So he moved there. Because it's about the devotion. Because you see, that's the whole point there. It's the devotion. You know? So you see also. You know? So it's like that is examples can be seen as that's what's important to Krishna. Now you do something grand, that's nice. Prabhupada expected, you know, the Westerners, because they are so much into mechanics, do something grand with your mechanics. But for Krishna.
Especially the Americans.
Yeah, yeah, the Americans are supposed to do it like that. Gita. And then the French will come along and refine it. I mean, that means that's why you see they're taking details off of, I think, Notre Dame and other things like that. They're not taking it off the Colosseum.
No.
Because the initiative to act takes place by a predominance of upadis or material conditioning, the initiative to act is often described as a quality of the upadis. Right? So we'll say, he has a brahminical nature, that's why he does brahminical stuff. Right? So when one identifies that way, then that's why you do. You have the brahminical nature, so therefore inspired by that, then you have the will to act in that brahminical way. So then the upadis become the points. So that's why he's saying it's the modes of nature that make everything work. So technically only the devotee can act not in that capacity. Because everybody else is going to identify with the upadis. You know, sorry. Because they identify with the body, the opportunities of the body, of the body, for the body, by the body, then come up and you are inspired to do things. Yes. That's the whole thing. But it's actually not to do with the soul. The soul's the one that's taking part and willing, and therefore then through the Lord's energy it's happening. But it's not the jiva themselves. They're just being controlled by the modes. That's why we say, get out of that control. You're engaging the modes, but you're not controlled by them. Therefore, the will to act is coming because of the identity, I'm servant of Krishna. In this situation, this could be done by me with the facility I have, which is, in this case, we're saying the example of brahminical body. So, in this situation, then I could take part in this festival and in the puja aspect. Well, someone else knows I'm very good at music and all that, means the body and all that. And so therefore I could be involved in the kirtan. And someone else is thinking, well, my expertise, my conditioning is I can organize things. So I'll arrange, all the different things so it goes nicely. But it's all about just pleasing Krishna. But if you drop below that, then it's no, I'm the Brahman, I'm the kirtanir, oh, I'm the manager. Well, no, that's the body. Right? Somebody says, when we say the body, it includes the gross and subtle, because they're both bodies, they're both coverings. Even a karma sharira, they're all bodies. Right? But when it's the pure I'm servant of Krishna, that's using now the spiritual body. So the spiritual consideration. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, we can judge our advancement if we become having less and less upadhi.
Yes. It doesn't mean that we don't work with what is our what is the facilities we have. Like Yudhishthira, he's a pure devotee, but he works with his nature as a dharmic kshatriya. Arjuna works with his nature as, a very qualified warrior. Bhima as a very strong kshatriya. But the point is so they do those works. It's not expected Sahadev's going to pick everybody up and they're going to run through the forest. No, Bhima will pick everybody up and they'll run through the forest. So it comes to some amazing activity. Draupadi goes to Bhima. He doesn't go to anyone else. When that 1,000-petaled lotus then fell down and she saw, well, this just came. So if I could get more of I could give to Yudhishthira. So who does she ask? Goes to Bhima. like that. So that's the thing, is that's where confusion comes up, is that, no, but then we're not the body, we can do anything. No, you can only work with what tools you have. Like if I use this, what can I do with this? I can record things. So if I need to record, this is the thing I use. This is not going to cook sabji. I can't use this to stir sabji. I pick it up like this. whoa, yeah, this is good. That's not going to work. That's foolishness. It'll be the last time you use it like that. Yeah. And then people are eating, they go, what's this funny stuff?
New spice.
Huh? New spice, yeah. What's this black stuff?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that it's a matter of vision. It's Krishna, then the pure jiva, and then what you're working with, the material body and the situation. But we start from the other way. That's why the upadis. And we generally don't get to the soul and definitely don't get to Krishna. And even if those more advanced get to the soul, they don't get to Krishna. So these big jnanis and yogis, they get up to the soul, but not to Krishna. So we see is that just reversing it, anybody can do. The other way, the inductive, only very qualified, pious persons could do that. You know, who can sit there for 60,000 years to do austerity, you know, before writing a book? You know, people go to prepare. Who's preparing for 60,000 years before sitting down and writing a book? Right? But that's what Valmiki did. So we can't do that. You know, he did yoga, so we might sit, oh, I got to work, and oh, myself. Okay. You know, that was our 5 seconds of yoga, and now we're ready to write. You know. Yes. He did that for 60,000 years. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.